From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on a warm Rochester night. You could hear the sounds of summer, the crickets chirping, the birds, maybe a grill, the sounds of a distant lawnmower. Or maybe you couldn't hear much of anything at all because all you did hear was this. ATVs and dirt bikes are back out on the roads, and last year they were a near constant part of the warm months, and they were more numerous and prominent than ever before in Rochester. There were community debates about how police should enforce the law, whether to confiscate bikes, whether to build a dedicated park or a facility for riders to keep them off streets and to give them a place where they can go and enjoy themselves. Well, now this debate has returned. A lot of the same questions are back. Some riders say they just want to enjoy themselves. They don't want to hurt anybody. Neighbors in some places have asked the city to get tougher. Let's discuss it with our guests. You're going to hear from a member of Rochester City Council coming up. We expect to talk to an ATV rider who wants to talk about the push for a dedicated facility. And I want to bring in Jeff Holdsworth, who is president of the Cornhill Neighbors Association, who's on the line with us. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for making time.
Good afternoon, Evan.
This is an exciting year in Cornhill, right? I mean, the Arts Fest is coming back. You guys have a lot going on, don't you?
We could not be happier to have the festival back, Evan. As you know, we invite the greater Rochester area and from Western New York really into the neighborhood, and it's a great time to show off the oldest residential neighborhood. It's great.
Part of the conversation this hour is just about trying to bring back all the vibrant things that we love about the warm months in Rochester, but to do it safely. So yes, it's festivals. Cornhill Arts coming back. We've got the Jazz Festival coming back. There's a lot happening. And listeners, I want to hear from you as we think about ATVs, dirt bikes, etc. What has your experience been? Maybe you haven't seen much. Maybe they're back in force. And maybe you've got a problem with that. Maybe you don't. But if you want to share your thoughts about what should happen here, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. And I want to paint a little picture for listeners here as we think about this issue. First of all, the State of the County address last night, County Executive Adam Bellow of Monroe County said that an ATV enforcement team will help combat illegal use of dirt bikes if they're on public roads and sidewalks. So there's going to be a dedicated county effort to dealing with that, especially as we head for summer. Under state law, it is illegal to operate a mini bike, a dirt bike, a go-kart, or a golf cart on any street, highway, parking lot, sidewalk, or other area in New York that allows public motor vehicle traffic. Monroe County law that was signed last June talks about the following. The operation of off-road vehicles on public highways in Monroe County local law allows police officers to immediately impound any off-road vehicle that is being illegally operated. So police can immediately impound any of these vehicles if they decide that the law was broken. The law also mandates the use of a USDOT-approved helmet while riding an ATV within the county and sets forth requirements and how a vehicle may be retrieved from impoundment. And the penalty for an ATV being impounded under the local law, $500 for the first offense and a $2,000 fine for any subsequent offenses. So, you know, you get to a point where people are just not going to go get these things back. They may go get a new one. Mayor Malik Evans told Spectrum News in April that his office is already getting calls about an increase in illegal ATV use. And he said the following, quote, "The problem is you can have all the freedom you want, but when your freedom interferes with young people and old people, then the mayor has a problem with it. What we're seeing now, and what we saw this last year, is there was a homicide because of one of these four-wheelers. Somebody was riding a four-wheeler, they almost hit somebody's kid, and the person pulled out a gun, and one of the persons ended up dead. Last year, a 9-year-old died because they fell off one of these all-terrain vehicles. So what we're saying is you will see enforcement," end quote. That is from Mayor Malik Evans about a month ago talking to Spectrum News here. And when it comes to what riders are asking for, Raheem Drisdom is an ATV rider. We hope to talk to Raheem this hour. He told us that, you know, that ATV riders pushed for a park last year, but he says everything was kind of detoured because there was a local election and there was a change in mayoral power. So we went from Lovely Warren's administration to Malik Evans' administration, and riders are saying all the plans that were sort of moving kind of got stalled out. So Raheem says, now it seems like, quote, we are being completely left out at this point, end quote. Raheem says a lot could change and would change if they had a park or a designated area for this. They just need the right help. 13 WHAM reports that police towed 22 ATVs, 17 dirt bikes, and 11 mini bikes in 2021. And yes, they confirm what Mayor Evans was saying, that last year two people died in dirt bike crashes, including a 9-year-old. So, I mean, you're talking about upwards of 50 vehicles that police towed, impounded, or otherwise. And the question is it going to be more this year? What's going to happen? Listeners, what are you hearing and seeing? Email the program, connections at WXXI.org. Call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. Jeff, what are you seeing at Cornhill?
Evan, we've seen the same kind of startup. As soon as the warm weather comes, we start to hear the kind of the racetrack, if you will, bikes and ATVs. Kind of, we're a little bit protected in terms of the neighborhood itself and some of the smaller streets. Make it difficult for the ATVs and bikes, but the surrounding kind of larger roads creates kind of a racetrack, and we hear that noise, and it has certainly seen an uptick already, and we're hopeful that the enforcement this year will limit it compared to last year.
When you talk about enforcement, what are you envisioning?
You know, honestly, I don't think as neighbors that we really have a strong position. We don't have anything against bikes. We just think that they need to be used in the appropriate place, and that running down Ford Street or running down Exchange or Plymouth isn't the right place. I think, you know, we have an active PACTAC program in the city, in the neighborhood, and really appreciate what RPD has done over the last year and continue to improve relationships. But the street at night and in the afternoon is just not the place for it.
Yeah, and I'm going to read some comments that have already come in. And listeners, I'm also curious to know, kind of building on Jeff's point there, when it comes to police enforcement, what are you seeing? Last year, we heard everything. We heard some neighbors who were pleased to see that police responded and impounded vehicles, others saying not happening fast enough, et cetera. And it's tough. I mean, it can be a tough spot for officers, because I'm sure they're busy with a lot of different things. And the question is, you know, when does this become the priority? What has to happen? Jane in Rochester first on the phone to weigh in on this. Hi, Jane, go ahead.
Well, if you wanted someone to complain, I'm just the person for you. Yeah, they've started back. And I noticed about 2 days ago, and I'm over here in South Wedge, and it's part of every year until the ice and snow comes. And it can be 24/7, really, waking you up at 2 a.m. and just going all the time. And I have heard information about that it does affect people's hearings if you get too much of it, and not good for the hearing abilities and your health in general, because it interrupts your sleep. And by the way, I want to ask you, don't we have an ordinance against noise pollution? Because we're primarily residential with a little bit of small business here and there on this street where I live. And so if it's primarily residential, why can't these people be ticketed for noise pollution?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll try to get an answer on that in just a second. Let me ask you before you go, Jane, would you support the use of tax dollars to create a dedicated facility for riders?
I think they should obey the law without being pampered. But if that's, I'll leave that to somebody smarter than me.
Okay.
It might be. But let me say this, if it works, if someone with credentials in psychology and so forth were to step forward and say, this is a sort of a win-win thing, I would say, if it works, fine, but I'm not even certain it would work.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate that. I want to bring in a member of Rochester City Council. Jose Pio is with us. Councilmember Pio, thanks for making time. How are you, sir?
Absolutely. I'm blessed. How about yourself?
Very good. And you and I don't live that far apart. We're Shalott neighbors. I've heard, and I think really this week when it's been so warm and nice, I've started to hear a lot more of it up in the northern part of Rochester. What are you hearing, Councilmember?
I'm hearing it all night, and it really does keep me up, just like all the other neighbors. And I have concerns about it, just like everyone else does. You know, this really is a quality of life issue. Not only is it illegal, but it's just it really is messing with a lot of people and saying, why would we want to live here as opposed to just taking our assets somewhere else and being much more quiet neighborhood, much more quiet city.
So we're going to, I think, talk about this from a number of different angles here, because I know there are different proposals. And there's different ideas about how the city and how the county. You heard County Executive Bello mention last night that the county is going to have an ATV enforcement team that's going to get even more aggressive combating the illegal use of dirt bikes on public roads. And then there's this talk about, should we spend tax dollars on a dedicated facility, et cetera. So let's start with the actual enforcement, Councilmember Pio. So last year, according to 13 WAM, there was, you know, maybe 50 or so different impoundments, including ATVs, dirt bikes, mini bikes. Is that appropriate? And do you feel like it should be more? Are police being aggressive enough? I mean, I know they're busy. How do you feel about police and enforcement on this one?
Well, that's the tough part. We're putting a lot on our police officers to handle, especially when they're down about 65 police officers from this time last year. It's very tough for them. I understand. But we do need enforcement of this law that I wrote the legislation for. It needs to be done in order to really keep some balance in the city, some compassion for everyone else that lives here. Enforcement needs to happen. That's the unfortunate part. We need the understanding that there's kind of two different groups that are doing this. One is the neighborhood, you know, kids, neighborhood families that just want to have a little bit of fun. I understand that. You know, that's why I had our police officers go to this one neighbor that and just give them pamphlets and say, look, this is illegal. You can't do this. If we continue to have complaints about this, we'll come back and we're going to have to impound it. And then the second part is the actual impounding of it. But that's a tough part. How do we stop them? How do we find where they are? How do we keep control, you know, so they don't run away? And how do we get them off of them in order to take them in? That's the tough part for our police and our county to really work together on.
Yeah, and one of the questions I have via email is, should I call police if I'm hearing them late at night? What's the right phone call to make, and when should I do that? What do you think, Councilmember Pio?
It's still 911. You'll be directed, you know, obviously in the city there's a lot of other things happening, and we feel like we don't want to keep putting this on the police officers when it comes to ATVs, dirt bikes, or even fireworks, but still call 911 because you have people, or I'm sorry, you have patrol in your neighborhoods that may just be right down the street that can make a quick come over here, talk to them, say, hey, cut it out. We got people that want to go to sleep. They want to have some peace and quiet. Always call 911.
Okay, so 911, they'll direct you. Okay, so a listener, actually, let me grab a phone call, and then I'll get to some of your emails, and we'll go in a lot of different directions here. Rich in Rochester on the phone. Hi, Rich, go ahead.
Hello, Evan. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Wasn't there a point where, because of honestly political influence, some of the sounds like the Harley Davidson motorcycle and the like got waivers for the noise pollution because the people who drove them had the political clout to get those waivers for those things? And so you get a ticket for a loud muffler, but you won't get it for the motorcycle. Mm. Is that New York State, or is that? I know there's some places that have those kind of ordinances.
Mm. Hold on one sec. Say there, Rich. I don't know the answer to that. Do you, Councilmember Pio?
I don't know if there was any lobbying done for that, but I do understand that the last thing we want is to have, you know, motorcyclists with loud mufflers go ahead and just run rampant around our city causing such loud noises, but then tackle the, you know, the one vehicle that doesn't have enough money to buy a new vehicle or even to fix a muffler and to hit them with more, you know, fines on top of that. That is a tough part where I can put a little more empathy and compassion because I've been there. I've had a loud muffler and I didn't have enough money to pay for it myself. So that's tough. But I don't know if there was a lobbying effort there. I can't answer to that.
Okay. What else, Rich?
I think I was about to say, I think these bikes are built like that. Harley actually had the sound of the Harley muffler was designed by Porsche to get this that gurgling loud sound. So it's not a broken bike. These bikes are built to be that loud. And that's what I think where the issue came in. So people were buying these bikes that were loud by most loud noise ordinances after 10 o'clock. They were too loud. But this is the way they're built, including all of those bikes. They built that way.
Do you think the loudness is the
problem?
And the loudness is sort of the point, Rich? You know, like the announcing your presence?
And a lot of, honestly, you know, people of my ilk, I'm 60, 61. They think they're the Hell's Angels or something like that. I think these guys and women are living, you know, precariously these lives of the 60s that they never were part of, but now they want to do it as older retirees, and they drive around these loud bikes. I think that's what
I think there's different people at different ages who are riding. But do you want to see more enforcement, Rich?
Oh, yeah. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's – in fact, I would say motorcycles – like I said, these Harleys, they're louder than any car with a bad muffler. They literally are louder. There's a higher pitch. It's horrible.
Okay.
And then they get away with it. They do it with impunity.
Okay. Rich, as always, thank you for the phone call. So I'm going to ask Jeff Holdsworth, president of the Cornhill Neighbors Association. You know, Jeff says it's not that Cornhill or Neighbors Association are you know, lobbying hard for police intervention. He wants police to do what they need to do within the law. It's that there is a quality of life impact here. And Jeff, when you raise the concern about this, is it mostly noise? Is it safety? You know, people sort of weaving through streets or even up on occasionally on sidewalks and yards. I mean, how do you break down what you're most concerned about, Jeff?
Evan, I'd say there's really kind of two issues, right? There's kind of the ongoing long-term issue of like loud motorcycles and loud cars in the summer when you get out your motor, you know, geek kind of cars and gearhead cars and you hear that noise. That's one thing. I think what dials this one up and makes it a little different is the safety component. You know, we see ATVs riding through the kids' playground in the neighborhood. We see motorcycle and dirt bike riders cutting across through the field and the playground, up on sidewalks and that type of stuff. I think the safety is the first concern that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the noise is an impact on quality of life. You know, one of the things for those of us that live in the city, right, I know we all love our front porches. We love to hang out and walk and talk to our neighbors and things like that. And so it is a quality of life thing. But the safety has really, what I would say, is the concern that's dialed up over the last 2 years.
Yeah, Councilmember Pio, if I'm riding just a regular old bicycle and I cut through someone's yard, I probably shouldn't, but I don't know if that's illegal. If I ride my bicycle and I kind of pop off the road and I kind of ride through a playground area, that's probably not illegal on a bicycle. But if you're on an ATV or a dirt bike, et cetera, what does the law say about that, especially in areas where kids are playing?
Well, the big thing is how fast can it go? I think that's the difference maker. And a lot of these ATVs and dirt bikes are going higher than, you know, 20 miles an hour. That's going to put it to where you are unsafe. That if you were to fall off of a bike on a park, you know, that's one thing. You can definitely get hurt. You should wear a helmet. But if you fall off an ATV and dirt bike, you can easily die. And the other part that we're kind of forgetting here as well, and I just saw in my insurance increase this month of almost 10%. If I were to hit one of these folks, you know, or they were to run into me, or they're doing their wheelie thing or whatever in the parking lot and they hit my vehicle, my insurance goes up. They are not held accountable. That's a problem. And we're seeing that with everyone's insurance. I shouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people are seeing their insurance hike. And that's a problem for everyone has to pay when a couple people want to have a little more freedom.
Yeah, and council member, we had spoken to Raheem Drisdom, who's an ATV rider, who told us, you know, that a lot of this could change if they had their own park or a designated area or
no.
their own facility. Well,
no.
I'm gonna hold on 1 second. Set that aside for 1 second because I have a couple questions from listeners about that. So set that aside. But let me ask you. Let me just ask you. Do you think most riders, council member, are of that mindset that says, "Look, we don't want to hurt anybody. We just want to have fun"? Because I think the stereotype when people have had rough experiences, or a kid nearly gets dinged, et cetera, is that there's like a disrespect for safety in neighborhoods. Do you think it's most people who are that way, or do you think that that's kind of an unfair stereotype?
No, I think that there's a lot of families. I have a gentleman that lives down the street from me, and, you know, he rides his ATV with his granddaughter, and you can see they're going slow. And I would never call a police on him because he's not doing, you know, wheelies on the street, and it's not keeping me up all night. He's not doing, you know, over-the-top dramatic things. The problem is, and I do understand where you're going with that. I do understand where most people are going when they say, hey, let's just use taxpayer funds to build them a park, and they'll all go that way. The truth of the matter is that there is a street in my district that they were been using for a number of years over off of Driving Park, where it was in the industrial area where no one was really complaining about it. They had the entire street to themselves, and that just wasn't enough for them. It wasn't enough, so they had to go get their thrill on the main streets. That's the truth of the matter there. So we can put our taxpayer money into these, you know, dirt parks, which would be fantastic, I'm sure, but they won't get the thrill that they're looking to do on these streets. They're not looking to jump dirt, you know, from one hill to another. They're looking to stop the traffic. They're looking to get the YouTube videos. I'm sure it's not most of them. I'm sure it really is most of the people who are in the community who just want to have a little fun with their kids, their grandkids, and, you know, give them a little toy that they can play with. I'm sure for the most part, they would benefit from that, and the neighborhoods would, but that will not stop the bike or ATV gangs that are going down the street and 50, 100 at a time and going through red lights. That's not going to stop what really matters to most of us.
Okay, but I think it's fair to at least try to probe this a little, because I think what you're saying is a dedicated facility would be attractive to some or even most riders. The main concern would still happen. The thrill seekers, the people who are putting others at risk, who are ignoring laws, who are out late at night, that those things would largely continue, right? Is that's the point?
Exactly. And that's the biggest concern, is that it's not really the, you know, the person riding on the street, you know, that's a nuisance, but it's not putting people's lives in danger, other people's lives in danger, when they're cutting through red lights and hoping that you don't hit them.
But Raheem Drisdom is saying, look, a lot could change if we just did that. Give it a shot here. He's saying that there was a push last year, and it got detoured because we had a change in mayoral administrations, and so now riders feel like they're being left out of the discussion again. What do you say to that?
Well, have fun asking which neighborhood that wants this dirt park. That it's not going to happen. The people are not going to be, yeah, go ahead, put it in my backyard. It's just certainly not going to happen. And the only area that is large enough for that type of activity would be like the Cobbs Hill area that we have the, you know, legislator and city council person that are kind of pushing for this. If they want it in their backyard, feel free to ask the neighbors there. Have the neighborhood associations come up and say, hey, are you guys okay with this noise in your backyard? Because I guarantee the people are not okay with it. And there's nothing stopping these, you know, ATVs and biker crews to pool their funds together, buy some land, and do exactly what they want to do.
Jeff Holdsworth, president of Cornhill Neighbors Association. What do you think your neighborhood group would say about a dedicated facility in your area?
I would agree with the council member. I think I don't think there's a lot of folks that would sign up for that noise in the city proper, in the where the density of population is in the city. That creates a lot of noise. I grew up in the country. There's, you know, Tall Pines ATV Park. There are dedicated parks for ATVs and dirt bikes or, you know, off-road bikes. They are not close to the city proper, but they're not, you know, they're here in Western New York. And let's not forget that this is not an inexpensive hobby. The bikes today are expensive. The ATVs are expensive. And if some of those resources went at using them in dedicated facilities in the right place, would be great. But I agree with the council member that I don't think that taxpayer money today is the right solution.
Okay, phones are blowing up. I promise we'll get to more of this. But council member, is there movement to put one of these facilities? You said what, Cobbs Hill?
No, there's no movement at all. I don't know what he's talking about. There was zero movement to put it anywhere.
Okay, I got you. And Andrew emailed to ask, what would such a facility cost if the city paid for it? Do we know that, council member Jose Pio?
I do not know. I'm sorry.
But that's not...
I honestly, I feel as though it would be a waste of money because I don't see 50% of and more of a neighborhood saying, yes, go ahead, I'll live with this noise all day, every day.
Okay. So, again, if you're just joining us, what Councilmember Pio is saying is if a group of people, riders, want to get together, pool their resources, buy some land, that is still an option for them. But he doesn't see neighborhood associations signing up for it in their area, and he doesn't support, from the city perspective, putting tax dollars toward that. So that's kind of where we are. It's not all that different from last year, although I know that there are some riders who are hopeful that this was going to get done. Let me get Chris in Rochester on the phone next. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. So my concern is, I owned a trail bike when I was a young man, and I used to ride it all around the neighborhood, just like folks are doing in the city now. And it was illegal, right? And so I'm seeing this happen currently in the city now. And when I hear, community talk about making an area where people can ride, the fundamental problem is you can't get to the riding park with an unlicensed vehicle. So putting a park in isn't going to solve the problem. The problem we're having is not that we have trail bike riders that are licensed vehicles that want to have a place where they can ride their bike in the dirt or in the forest. Problem is we have unlicensed vehicles, and they just simply can't be used in that capacity. And providing them a plot of land to ride on, you would need a pickup truck with ramps. You would need a trailer to get your unlicensed vehicle there, just like snowmobile riders do every winter. They don't just get on their snowmobiles and rip around through the city. If you're a rider, you own a trailer, and you take your snowmobile to a park like the Adirondacks, that type of thing. So that was my commentary.
Well, I appreciate it, Chris. And Joe in Rochester, similar comment. So let me get Joe as well. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, that was pretty much exactly what I was going to say. I'll just add a little caveat to it. If we have this hypothetical facility, you're almost encouraging more people to drive ATVs and dirt bikes through the city. I think it's a lot of fun, but it's not a good idea. And it definitely, I think it would actually make the problem worse.
Interesting. Joe, thank you for that. So Councilmember Pio, is that correct that because you're not allowed to ride these things, generally speaking, that you can have a dedicated facility, but there's no way to get them there unless you're loading them up on a trailer?
Well, that's exactly right. And not only that, we had a council member who was kind of bragging about the fact that we're a destination for the same ATVs and dirt bike people who come from Buffalo and Syracuse because they knew they can ride down our city streets with impunity. Like, that's not something that I would brag about. So if we put a park in our city on top of that, people, they're not going to invest in these, ways of carrying these vehicles to there. They're going to ride it to there, and because they know they can get away with it. That's the problem. We're empowering these people out of compassion. And at a certain point, we have to just, stick our foot in the ground and say, look, the line is right here. We can't do this. We can't keep going down this path of, compassion and allowing people to get away with everything. We have to have discipline and order in our streets.
James emails to say, thank you to the council member for standing up for neighborhoods on this one. We do have to draw a line. This is ridiculous. Last summer was difficult to be outside, and I'm already hearing the noise. That is from James. Thank you, James. And let me get Keith on the phone next. Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
I was fortunate enough to spend 5 days in the Bahamas.
I'm so sorry.
And, yeah, it was awful. Really, it was awful. So we were coming back from a resort, and I noticed ATVs are street legal in the Bahamas. Maybe what the state should look into is making ATVs legal. You can register them. You got to have insurance. They're speed limited to 20 miles an hour just in urban areas, because if you're in the suburban or rural, then you'll have the fields to drive on it. Because if you have a park, it's never going to happen, because what happens if somebody gets hurt? They're going to sue the city. They're going to sue the county. They're just going to go after the deep pockets. The best thing would be to try to make them street legal, certain hours, decibels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Make them, okay, but with limitations.
Right, with limitations. You can't have them 80 miles an hour because you can't drive that fast. So you figure the speed limit is 30 in the city, make them, you know, 25 or something. They have to be inspected. They have to do safety training. Maybe they got to have insurance.
Okay, hang there for a second, Keith. What do you think, Councilmember Pio?
I'm actually not really against that, to be honest. I've been to areas where you have a lot of golf carts. You know, you drive your vehicle, but then once you're in that area, you just drive your golf cart around. And he's precisely right. If you're staying under a certain miles per hour, and it's street legal, and you have insurance on it, you have a license plate, you know, you're wearing a proper, you know, equipment, whatever, I'm not against that.
Okay. And Jeff Holdsworth, how would you feel about that as president of the Cornhill Neighbors Association?
You know, I think this is a really deep topic, Evan. I think if it was street legal, that was the quote, right? And
yep.
So there's all the regulations and rules and structure to put around that. And frankly, I'm not 100% sure that that would answer the desire of a lot of the riders. I think Jose mentioned it earlier, Councilman
right.
mentioned it earlier, that the disrespect to the community and the safety of others is kind of the bigger concern. And I don't know if that would address it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I've got one more question for Jeff, then I'm going to let Jeff go. I'm grateful that we've got Councilmember Jose Pio with us from Rochester City Council. And I've got more phone calls to take, including one of Jose's colleagues who has called the program. Before I take that call, Jeff, you've been gracious with the time. And I know every neighborhood association is having conversations as we head for the warm months about safety, about what you need, about what you're looking forward to. But you're also excited to start feeling, you know, kind of like we're back together again. Like this is going to be a little bit more like a normal summer. So let people know about what's coming up with Cornhill Arts.
Yeah, we're excited. As we said before, Evan, July 9th and 10th, we'll be back in action at the Cornhill Arts Festival, and we're super excited to have everybody back. We've got a great lineup of artists, musicians, food. We have the Emerging Artist Expo with young artists coming out and doing things. And for the younger kids, we've got the Fairy House Tour that we've had for quite a few years and has been a success. And we're also excited for folks that drive down through the city these days. They've seen the city and the state have worked hard over the last several years and have done the North Star Commons, redoing the whole Riverwalk along in front of our community. And so we're excited just to be outside and enjoy the summer.
Thank you for making the time for us, Jeff. Thanks for what you're doing there. I have so much appreciation for everybody who gets involved in their neighborhood associations, especially now. We're sort of divided and we're kind of insular. And I love seeing people get back together. This is what we need more than probably anything else right now, Jeff. And thank you for doing it. Let's talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Jeff Holdsworth is president of the Cornhill Neighbors Association. After we take this only break, we'll come back. We'll welcome more of your phone calls as we're talking about enforcement, what the city, what the county ought to be doing with ATVs, dirt bikes, a ton of feedback on this issue. We'll be right back here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the next Connections, we recently heard from Democratic Senator Jeremy Cooney on the new state budget. Monday, Republican Senator Edward Rath joins us on the program. Then in hour two, Complete Streets, the Makeover Project, focused this year on the intersection between Orange and Orchard outside school number 17. What does it mean to have a complete street wherever you are? We'll talk about it. This is Connections. A lot of opinions being shared about ATVs, dirt bikes, etc. Daryl writes to say, Evan, exposing others to unwanted noise is similar to exposing others to unwanted tobacco smoke. It is a form of trespassing into the space and privacy of others. Sending sound pressure waves into the space of others is not so different from throwing stones into someone else's property. And noise can create harm, including hearing loss, increase in blood pressure, and stress. The trick to a successful democratic society is to create a culture where our individual freedoms are in balance with those of others. That is from Daryl. Here's a different viewpoint, and I'll kick this first to Councilmember Jose Pio. Listener says, Evan, I hope your show doesn't just have old suburban white people talking about this because we already know their stance on anything regarding urban youth, end quote. Do you see this as, Councilmember Pio, do you see any sort of racial undertone? Are you concerned about giving people trying to understand what urban youth want, et cetera, here?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. If you're always looking for some kind of racial undertone, you're going to find it. But the other part is, I spent a lot of my family around Conkey Avenue. I go to visit them, and I see these ATVs and dirt bikes, and I'll ask them, like, what do you think about this? And they absolutely hate it. But they're not going to speak up. They're not going to show up to speak to council. They're not going to call the city hall to complain about it. Like, there's certain folks tend to speak up, or certain people tend to show up, especially retired folks, to meetings and to voice their opinion, while others say, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing me and focus on me.
Shar writes to say, I had an ATV pull out right in front of the car I was riding in on Lake Avenue on Wednesday. I've said before, Lake Avenue is its own ecosystem. It's a different world if you drive it every day. But I hope you're okay, Shar. Thank you for that note. And I mentioned that one of Jose's colleagues has called the program. I'm going to welcome Mary Lupien. Hi, Councilmember Lupien. Thanks for making time for the program.
You got it. Hi, Councilmember Pio.
So, hi, Mary.
So listen, by the way,
I heard you talk about me earlier.
I should say, we often have them together. This was just one of those days where a Councilmember Pio was invited to the program, wasn't trying to exclude anybody, Councilmember Lupien, and you're certainly welcome
not
to call
at
the
all.
Certainly welcome to call the program and weigh in here. So I know you've been listening. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, so, you know, I hear the argument made about, you know, if we have a designated area, either in the city or nearby, you know, for riders to go, that they would have to have a way to get there. And, you know, also heard it compared to snowmobiles in rural areas. And I feel like it's condescending to say that, you know, in rural areas, they can manage that. But in the city, you know, they wouldn't be able to figure that out. But, you know, these are riding communities. And a year and a half ago, when we were having this conversation with members of the dirt bike community, they were more than willing to, you know, group ride, pick up, you know, folks' bikes and take them to the park or get a trailer. You know, if they can buy a bike, they can buy a trailer to haul them in. And, you know, they want to be able to abide by the law and be able to recreate in this way. And they also articulated how, you know, so much of the youth violence and youth getting into trouble is because they don't have anything productive to do, and that they are actually getting kids off the corner and getting them involved in this really positive dirt bike community, teaching them how to repair bikes. There are kids, young adults, who have gone on to learn how to be mechanics and be employed in that way, which is a really great job to have. So, I'll just close by saying I was on a presentation yesterday around participatory budgeting, and they were mentioning how in 2018, when they were gathering feedback, they went to the DSS office and were asking people, how would you solve poverty? And one of the answers that they got, which they didn't understand at the time, was build a dirt bike park. But now we understand the link to getting kids into something productive and actually to a career now. And I hope that we can figure out a way to do this, because it's, for me, an equity issue. Kids in the rural areas that have that space, they don't even have to own the land to be able to ride their bikes on it. What can we do to get kids in the city that same access?
Okay, so hang there for a second, council member. Jose Pio, go ahead.
Well, I mean, as always, I appreciate the insight of my fellow council member, but what's acceptable in the countryside is just not acceptable here. I can't go out in my backyard and shoot my rifle or shoot my shotgun. I can't do that. I can do that in the country. I can't ride my ATV dirt bike here in the city, but I can in the country. Some things are just acceptable over there. I can't put a cow in my backyard and raise it so I can, you know, have beef and have milk. There's just a vast difference between what happens in the country, what is acceptable out there, and what's acceptable in the city. It's two different things, and we can't keep, you know, equating the two.
Okay, Councilmember Lupien, what do you think?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but if there is a way for us to accommodate in the city, I would like to explore that. And our former mayor, Lovely Warren, had committed to the dirt bike community that she would identify a space. You know, we know lots of things happened in the interim, but I do hope that we can continue to look and see what we can do to, because it's so impactful, find a way to accommodate that need.
But where do the, where would a space be?
Well, Councilmember Pio is not going to like this, but there are some areas in his district that are kind of industrial. They're not near any residences, so the noise isn't an issue.
You talking about Old Kodak?
Even if it's just in that area, Mount Reed, you know, where it wouldn't be a nuisance, where they could ride safely, you know, and I think once we get them in a sanctioned area, you know, then we have the ability to, you know, enforce safety regulations. There was a suggestion that, you know, we could hold a program at an R center around bike safety, around, you know, fixing them, give out helmets. You know, they're very, the community, at least that we were speaking with, was very willing to and wanted and recognized the need for safety and riding responsibly. And so once we have that space where we can kind of get them together, that becomes a lot more easy.
How much are you willing to allocate from the city for this, Councilmember Lupien?
Well, you know, we have an unprecedented opportunity now with the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Plan Act funds, which we still have, you know, somewhere between 90 and 100 million left to allocate. Half of the amount left to allocate, that this is something that we could look into. I don't know how much it costs. You know, it may be similar to what we've spent on the skate park, and it may also be, you know, we're in partnership with the Friends of the skate park, where we jointly, you know, they fundraised and we put in some money, and I think there's the opportunity to have a partnership like that here. I would think maybe one to two million.
Okay.
But again, it's just a ballpark.
All right. Last question then for you, Mary, is one of the considerations has been what neighborhood associations, what neighbors, what people nearby, any facility would say. And you have Councilmember Pio saying, look, neighborhood associations up in his area not going to go for this. You had Jeff Holdsworth from Cornhill saying he wants people to have freedom, but you know, he doesn't think they would go for it there. Who are you? Are you willing to check in with neighbors to make sure that people are on board?
Well, I guess that, you know, the suggestions that I made wouldn't really impact neighbors. I mean, I suppose, you know, if there's the fear that they're going to ride there on their own, that's certainly something that would affect the whole city, and we can have that discussion, but I'm not advocating for this park to be located in a neighborhood. I think that would be too much of a nuisance.
All right, Mary, thank you for being with us. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. And anybody is always welcome.
Yeah.
Members of council, public, et cetera. Thank you. Councilmember Jose Pio. So Councilmember Jose Pio, so the contention that your colleague is making is, if they use one of these sort of more industrial sites up in the northern part of the city, that it wouldn't really be close to neighbors. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't make sense only because of two reasons. One, there's going to be a lot of heavy machinery that's going to have to move a lot of concrete, asphalt, move a lot of dirt. On top of that, the insurance that our constituents are going to have to pay in order to make sure that if someone were to get hurt, that the city insurance would cover them. The question that you asked her, though, was, you know, how much of the city money would we would we be able to allocate towards that? Or is she willing to allocate towards that?
Yeah, she said about $1 million.
Change the question of the, right. The question should be changed a little bit. It should be asking the citizens, how much more of your taxes, how much more of your paycheck do you want to put towards paying for these rascals on our city to possibly, you know, take off of our city streets to go to this park? How much more taxes are you willing to pay in order to build this park? That's the real question. And I really think if you ask it that way and you ask the citizens of our entire city, no one's going to say, yeah, let's increase my taxes, please. Because, you know, I think that some people want to jump some ramps instead of, you know, running through traffic. I just don't think that the reality fits what the council member Lupien is saying, but I appreciate her being the voice for that group. But that is a vacuum group, right? Whatever that group says is, of course, going to be beneficial to them. But we have to get out of these vacuums and go into the community organizations and go to these community association meetings and to host our own, you know, town halls and say, what are your thoughts on this? And I've been doing that. And if you do that, you know, around the time that we were talking about this, every single person, there's not one person that came to those meetings and said, yes, please take more of my taxpayer money to put towards this. Not a single person.
So let me squeeze in just a couple more comments. Diane in Fairport on the phone. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I guess I didn't realize how much of a problem that was in the city, but it kind of confuses me because just the name itself, all-terrain vehicle, off-road vehicle, dirt bike, the name dirt bike, it's not something that should be on streets anyway, so I don't understand why they're even allowed, like in the city or even in the suburbs on the streets. That's not what they were made for. So I'm just really sorry to hear that there is such a problem, but I do wish that they weren't allowed, period. They're not safe in the cities or suburbs. They're not the noise like everyone else has been, you know, stating, but yeah. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, Diane. And Jose, she's saying just the names itself indicate get them off the streets. That's not where they're supposed to be. What do you think?
She's absolutely correct. And that's the whole reason behind this is that they're not made to be ridden on our streets. And that the difference between riding down Lake Avenue and riding out in the street on Kendall, it's just so vastly different. I'm afraid driving down Lake Avenue in my Jeep Wrangler that I'm going to get hurt. Like, you know, you drive down the street every single day. It's
wild.
A terror. You have to stop at a stoplight for an extra 2 minutes when it turns green, not 2 minutes, 2 seconds, to look both ways to make sure you're not going to kill somebody or someone's going to kill you. It's just vastly different from the country.
A couple more emails. Judy says, who wants gas fumes and gas exhaust smelling up their neighborhood? I don't, not to mention the noise. But Dallas says, with dirt bikes, I don't see how police will stop it. How many officers working together does it take to take one of these off the road? Do they get away easy? Is it dangerous running them down if officers decide to pursue? Plus, they're cheaper than cars for kids or young people who can't afford cars. So Dallas is just saying police may be in a hard spot here. And can you speak to that a little bit, council member? I mean, should police be pursuing? I mean, Dallas is saying that may be untenable.
We can't. We can't chase them down at this point. But there are ways to find out where that dirt bike or ATV is housed. You know, we have neighbors that see where they're going. We have cameras throughout the city, traffic cameras. So we'll find out where they are and we can, you know, get them when they're at home versus chasing them. So there's ways to get them when they are stopped. Also on top of that, you know, gas stations, they have to fill them up with gas. You know, if we're able to catch them at the gas stations, we know the certain ones that they usually tend to stop at. If we can catch them while they're pumping gas, I mean, they grab them while they're stopped. But it's easier said than done. Again, we are over 65. We're 65 police officers missing from our police force that could be on these streets, actually, you know, increasing the quality of life. And it is very difficult. This is a tough ask to place on the police, but this is hopefully where the county jumps in and helps us.
Okay, and last question for you, and I want to thank City Council Vice President Mary Lupien for calling and sharing her thoughts. Council Member Pio has been generous with his time and has been working on these issues. Really, the last couple of summers have been very, very active. What do you want people thinking about as we go throughout the warm months here? What's the way to make this a better and more peaceful situation?
It's really going to come down to the family unit. There's just never a time in my mind where I think my 13-year-old son is going to go into our garage, take his, you know, bicycle out and ride it on the street alone. It's unfathomable to me that he would do that. But we have young kids that are out on our streets, young teenagers who are riding, doing wheelies on these ATVs and dirt bikes, and they have family that could stop them and say, you're not going to do that. That is not acceptable. So really, it does come back to the household. It does come back to the parents. It does come back to the family members and say, look, this is unacceptable. You cannot have this ATV. You cannot have this dirt bike. You can, you know, have it out in the country. You got a friend out there. Find a friend on Facebook. Say, hey, I would love to ride with you. You know, there's so many different groups out there that if they really want this and they can do it the right way, they really can. It's just right now, our parents, we have to put our foot down and say, no, you cannot do that. It is illegal and you're going to get me in trouble.
Well, I'm sure the council member is not surprised at the passions sparked in our listening audience via email and phone calls. A lot of people thinking about this. I know it's been a very active week with the warm weather. Councilmember Jose Pio, thank you for your generosity with your time with the program today.
I appreciate you, brother, very much.
That's Jose Pio. Again, our thanks to him from City Council. Thanks to Council Vice President Mary Lupien calling in, sharing her thoughts. Our thanks to Jeff Holdsworth, President of the Cornhill Neighbors Association. Raheem Drisden, ATV rider, talked to us, told us about some of his perspective. We want to get everyone's perspective here, and we want people to be safe. And we hope you are. We hope you've got a peaceful, wonderful weekend planned coming up here. And I hope you're a member of Member Supported Public Radio. This is the last day of our spring membership campaign. So if you're not a member, now's the time to jump at wxxi.org/give. From the whole team here, Rob Braden and Megan Mack and Evan Dawson, saying thanks for listening. We're back with you Monday on Member Supported Public Radio.